Our sermon text for this 14th Sunday of Pentecost is going to be taken from Exodus. I have committed to this congregation. I've tried to hold true to it, to preach once a month from the Old Testament. And so we're going to go from Exodus chapter 32, and we are going to read verses 7 through 15. And we're going to read this in Jesus' name, and you can remain seated for this reading. Exodus chapter 32, beginning at verse 7, continuing in Christ's name. And the Lord said to Moses, "Go down, for your people, whom you brought up out of the land of Egypt, have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way that I commanded them. They have made for themselves a golden calf and have worshipped at it and sacrificed to it and said, 'These are your gods, O Israel, that brought you up out of the land of Egypt.' And the Lord said to Moses, 'I have seen this people, and behold, it is stiff-necked people. And now, therefore, let me alone, that my wrath may burn hot against them, and that I may consume them, in order that I may make a great nation of you.' But Moses implored the Lord his God and said, 'O Lord, why does your wrath burn hot against your people, whom you have brought up out of the land of Egypt with great power and a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians say, with evil intent did he bring them out, to kill them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn your burning anger and relent from this disaster against your people. Remember Abraham and Isaac and Israel, your servants, to whom you swore by your own self and said to them, I will multiply your offspring as the stars of the heaven. And all the this land I have promised, and I will give to you and your offspring, and they shall inherit it forever.' And the Lord relented from the disaster he had spoken, bringing on his people. And Moses turned and went down from the mountain with the two tablets of the testimony in his hand. The tablets were written on both sides, on the front and on the back they were written." Amen. Let's unite our hearts in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, this is your word that is before us. And oftentimes, Father, we have a tendency to forget the past. Often we have a tendency to think these are old fables. But rather, Father, this is a recording of history. We are thankful for your graciousness. We are thankful that you have set us apart. And we ask, Father, that you would sanctify us yet again today, that we would hear your word. For truly, Father, your word is truth. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So do you ever get tired? Tired of waiting for an answer? You ever get impatient waiting for a decision to be made or something to take place? We've kind of touched on this a few weeks ago, and we talked about the fact of how sometimes in our lives we make decisions that actually cause us more heartache and more struggle because we get impatient. I don't know if you've ever done it, even in your basic life, your earthly life. You know, everyone's like, you know, ooh, don't push that thing, or don't do this, or don't do that, but you just can't wait any longer. Next thing you know, you go and push the lever, or you go and do this, and you actually break whatever you're working with. Or maybe we're investors, and we're like, oh, we're watching everything go on around us, and we get so nervous, we take and we sell it short, and we end up losing. Or maybe we don't have the patience to work with somebody, and we actually just kind of cut off the relationship, thinking the grass is greener on the other side. And actually what we find out is, no, the grass is not greener on the other side. It's actually quite brown. What you thought was so wonderful oftentimes can be, no, not so hot. It's like one guy, he talked about it. He says, we always think about the grass being greener on the other side. Our grass would be green if we watered it. Yeah, I'm saying that to you, husbands and wives. You know, if you watered your own grass, maybe your grass would be a little greener. Maybe we got to talk a little nicer. Maybe we got to be a little sweeter. Maybe we got to be a little more encouraging instead of just looking at the other people saying, boy, they got it all figured out. Children of Israel have been given a lot of chances. Children of Israel have definitely gone through the mill. There's no doubt about it. They are in Egypt for decades, centuries, right? And they've gone through being slaves, and they were making all these great monuments for Egypt. And God spoke to them, and he said that he's going to set them free. And we know the whole history of that. We know exactly what takes place. And you think this would be a great moment for them with all that they've endured, all that they've gone through, being slaves, being beaten, many of their people buried on the foundations of the temples they were building, right? Finally, they're free. Who would ever imagine that the Pharaoh would let them go? But how long? How long are we going to enjoy this freedom? How long before, you know, because things aren't just so wonderful, you know, because we actually got to work a little bit. Maybe we got to struggle a little bit. Maybe we're sick of, you know, manna. Maybe we're sick of the reality of just wandering in the wilderness. How long? But yet to see that God provided for them so immensely in their life. And I want you to stop for a moment and stop thinking of everybody else and actually think within your mind, what has God done for you? What has he done for me? How has he blessed each and every one of us? It is so powerful if we'd stop for a moment and stop looking at everything else and say, what has God done? He has immensely provided for me. He has protected me. He has encouraged me. Yeah, there may be struggles around us, and there might be diseases, and there might be financial woes, often of my own accord. But God has been consistent and patient in walking us through all these situations, even if I caused it. That is our God. A loving and a gracious God. But man alive, they're out there wandering around and they're like, you know, we used to get cucumbers in Egypt. But now we're eating this manna. You know, but God provided food for them. He provided quail for them. He provided water for them. He provided the fact that their shoes never wore out in the 40 years. I just bought a brand new pair of Keens in May when Judy and I went away, $168, because Judy told me, oh, you got to buy these. They're good for your feet, and they're really going to hold you up. She's already writing to the company because they're falling apart, and I bought them in May. God graciously provided for them and took care of them. God is going to see you through if you'd open your eyes and your ears. Me too, not just you. If we would but open our eyes and open our ears, that he will be there and he will take care of us. Where is our sight? Sometimes I wonder, and I don't need to look at you. You know, I'm thankful my poor wife gets a week off. She's downstate right now, conferences. But you know what? Sometimes she needs a break from me because I can be a unit. There's no way around that. Because we get fixated on the stupidest things as human beings. Children of Israel were no different. Moses was called to Mount Sinai. He was called to have a conversation with the Lord. And actually, he was called there to get instruction from the Lord for the children of Israel on how to live and how to make their lives better. See, we get so hot and bothered nowadays. We have debates over the commandments. Should we even follow them? Are they even applicable? What is it? The commandments are not for God. See, that's what we sometimes think. Well, I got to do these things for God. God gave them for us. He gave them for us that we would in reality have a better life upon this earth. And you might think I'm smoking something and you might think I'm crazy. That's fine. Think what you want. But the reality of it is that if we honor our mothers and fathers, do you think our life will be easier? In all honesty, it will. Who wants to live in a house full of travail, argument, struggle? If we in reality don't covet our neighbor's wife or covet other things, do you think our life will be better? Honestly, it will. Do you really think that's a good road to go down? Do you think it's an easy road? I remember talking with someone who I love very much. And he went through a big struggle in his life, and he went through a struggle with alcohol and everything. It was difficult for him. There's no doubt about it. But I remember some words that he told me when he came out of this, and he was encouraged, and he was living in Christ, right? And he said, that's a tough road. It's a lot of work to be an alcoholic. It's a lot of work to live in that lifestyle. Brothers and sisters in Christ, these commands, this better living, if we want to say it that way, is not given so that we could appease a God. It is given in reality that we could live our lives in freedom and in comfort and in peace. The children of Israel, they're sitting there and they're kind of watching what's going on, and Moses goes to Mount Sinai, and you know, he's gone for a while. And they start to get scared. And that's when we have a tendency to make a lot of stupid decisions, is when we get scared. Maybe we feel like we're not loved enough, so we find love somewhere else because we're scared that we're not going to be loved enough. Maybe we feel like we're missing out on something, and maybe we go and we do something that we shouldn't do because we figure maybe we're missing something, or maybe I'm getting old, or whatever it may be. I don't know what the fear is, but fear is a liar. Children of Israel saw Moses go up. He was gone for a while. They're all kind of getting nervous. What the rip's going on around here? Did he just bring us out here to die? You can understand the conversation. Well, maybe God was mad at Moses and took him. Or maybe he tripped and fell. Maybe he broke his neck. He's dead. Maybe in reality, the calling was too much for him and he wandered away. He was afraid. Maybe he was like Jonah and he couldn't handle it. But the children of Israel start to really wonder about this. And so then we come down to this main point here, as soon as I find my chapter. The people saw that Moses was delayed coming down from the mountain, and so what do? They get a bunch of people together. They got to come up with a plan. We got to fix this situation. Do you see anybody going to prayer? Do you see anybody even coming to Aaron as Moses' servant and saying, Aaron, we're nervous. We're afraid. We don't know what's going on. We felt left out in the dark here. Pray to the Father that he could actually help us, to encourage us. No, the answer of this in human understanding is to take it into our own hands, to do our own thing, to find our own way, be the men above men, right? Anyways, so they turn around and they come to Aaron and kind of a herd here, and they tell him, make up gods for us. We need something to worship here. They had just seen God go through the 7 plagues. They just crossed the Red Sea on dry ground as the Egyptians were consumed. They saw God provide manna, provide quail, provide everything that they needed. They've seen so many miracles. I mean, we'd believe, right? We'd turn around and say, yeah, we wouldn't have that problem. Really? How often do we turn on that TV and watch the news and start getting panicky? How often do we watch the stock market start diving, or we start watching something? And I'm not saying these things aren't important for our viability on this planet Earth, but God has us. And I'm no different. I'm not acting like, oh, I got it all figured out. Trust me. You know? The only reason I leave stuff alone is I've made a commitment to leave it alone for 5 years to see what happens. But how many times do we get panicky and take things into our own hands? And we have the power of the Spirit in our lives, indwelling by grace through faith. All I'm asking for is that we would stop and look to that. That we would speak in reality to our Father and say, Lord, help us. Help us in our relationships. Help us in our business. Yes, I'm even saying praying earthly. But help us spiritually to know you and to understand you and to understand that you are there. But they're panicking and they're afraid, and we make bad decisions when we're afraid. Aaron, we're left to ourselves here. You gotta do something for us. Make us something to worship. Give us something. Give us a fix, Aaron. And Aaron caves. Aaron is human. He tells him to take off all the gold that you have. He says, take off all your gold rings, everything that's in your ears from your wives. So it's kind of interesting they had earrings back then. But anyways, my wife would have been able to make her own little idol with all everything she wears, so we're good to go there. He says, take it all off. He says, and really, in your sons and daughters, bring them to me. Everybody come around me. We're going to make a big thing of this. So they took everything off and they brought it to him. And everything that was in their ears, everything that was on their fingers, everything that was upon their necks. And he brought it to Aaron. And he received the gold from their hand. And it says that he did take the time and he fashioned Baal, a calf. This is what we're going to worship. Think about it. This is human beings in its fallenness. This is human beings in its panic. This is human beings in its fear. And left to my own devices, I am no different. What is our idol? And I'm not here preaching legalism. I'm asking, what comes before God in our lives? And what do we look to for security in our lives if we're not looking to Him? Is it my bank statement? Is it my addiction? What is it? And that's for you to answer. That's for you to wonder and understand. But that is not the answer. That is not the answer for your problems, and that is not the answer for my problems. Those things in reality are slaves. Panic. He receives everything. He starts engraving it. He starts making a golden calf. And then they turn around and they see what he created. We see the same thing in our day and age, don't we? I remember even Pastor Dick Barney used to say that, you know, oftentimes people want to worship the creation instead of the Creator. It's not that we're to not be stewards. We're to be stewards. We're to take care of it. All of this stuff about being green is not a total waste. But we don't worship the creation. We worship the Creator. We look to Him. And so really, what it comes down to is now they're in their panic mode, so they turn around and they seek for something to bring comfort. What do you seek to bring you comfort? And that is the question. Where we can find comfort in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we can find comfort in the power of His Spirit, we can find comfort in the consistency of His Word being able to carry us through each day. This really speaks highly about being sanctified. This text talks about God's children being sanctified. Do you know what that means? That means to be set apart for a purpose. This is who we are. In the finished work of Jesus Christ, each and every one of us are set apart for a purpose. That we would look to Him for our strength. We'd look to Him in the times of our weakness. That we would look to Him in the times of our fear. That we would not have to create something or take something to ease that fear. Because that just entraps us. Even Judas thought that 30 pieces of silver would make him happy. Oh, man. Can you imagine what I could do with that 30 pieces of silver? And in the end, he saw how empty it was. Fear can cause us to do the craziest things. Even Peter said, I would never deny you, Lord. I will die for you. I will lay down my life for you. But yet in fear, faced in fear, Jesus knew he would deny. We talk about ethics. I even mentioned this to Scott this week, and one of the greatest statements that Tielecki talks about in ethics, he says, everybody can tell me all day long about their ethics. In other words, what we would do in a certain situation. But he says very plainly, put a man in a situation, and I will see his ethic. Aaron might have been the helper to Moses. Aaron might have been the second big dog. But in the situation, he was just as human as they were. But brothers and sisters in Christ, I'm not saying this as a negative. We can live beyond this. We can go beyond this because we look to God the Father. We look to Christ Jesus to carry us through these moments. Whom are we seeking from? Do you think our friends have all the answers? You think ignoring the issue is going to take care of it? That's garbage. We boldly in Christ face what is before us. We deal with it, and we ask Him for the strength to get us through. Instead of being afraid and seeking for a false god or a false thing to take away a little bit of their pain for the moment, reach out. Ask. Seek. Be honest in integrity. I've had people tell me that they're really struggling with the Lord. And I've asked them, how do you deal with it? And they're like, well, it just hurts. It just bound up in me. I just can't get it out. And maybe my advice is wrong. You can throw it out if you want. I tell them, just go and scream to the Lord. Tell Him. Tell Him how unfair you think it is. Tell Him how you're struggling. Tell Him. Because He knows. And we need to get that out, because when we allow it to be contained, it controls us and it rules us. A lot of people say, oh, Pastor, you're so honest. No, I'm not. I'm just as human as anybody else. But often the reason I say what I say or say what I need to say, feel like I need to say, because I can't let it control me. The truth will set you free. Sometimes we'd rather be ruined with praise than corrected with criticism. Sometimes we'd rather have the myth rather than reality. They come to Him, they ask, and He fashions this golden calf for them. And what do? They turn around and they see this calf and they're all hot and bothered, right? Just like we often human beings with the earth or whatever else it may be. Maybe it's the Raha, the money that they worship. He says, they turn around and voice in unison. They say, these are your gods, O Israel. This right here brought you up out of the land, totally ignoring everything that God the Father has done for them, the promises that He has given. They brought you up out of Egypt. And then Aaron turns around and he actually makes an altar, because we're going to go all the way with this bad boy if we're going to do her. And they go all the way to the altar, and Aaron makes a proclamation. He says, tomorrow there will be a feast to the Lord. This will take place. So what do? Now that they have their little trinket, they turn around and they worship and they sacrifice to it. This false deity. Man alive. It's like, I have a friend, you know, you've met him here, actually, I've seen him sing here years ago, but Linton Silva. And it always makes me just amazed when I think about the story he said, that they down there are Hindus, and they worship so many false deities. But the point is, he said that these mothers that need food for their children will literally go out to a tree, and they will pray to this tree, and they will take milk and pour it to the tree as an offering. And he's like, looking at it like, why didn't you feed the milk to your kids? Human beings, when they're driven with fear, driven with delusion, driven with lies, they make such radical decisions. Why wouldn't they just feed it to their children? Because they're deceived. So they rose up early the next day and they offered burnt offerings and they brought peace offerings, and the people sat down and they ate and they drank and they rose up and they played music. They did all kinds of things, and in fact they were really dancing and everything else. And so now the Lord comes to His main point. Go down there. These kids, your kids are a mess. He says, go down, for your people have brought out that I brought out of the land of Egypt. He says, they've corrupted themselves. They've turned. He says, they've actually turned aside fast. He says, out of the way that I commanded for them. He says, and they've turned around and they've made a golden calf. They've done this thing and they've worshipped it and they're sacrificing to it. And they're actually making the proclamation that this is the gods that has brought us out of Egypt. And the Lord says to Moses, I've seen this people. And really, he's ticked off. He says, behold, they're stiff-necked. In other words, they won't look up. They won't look anywhere else. They're only doing their own devices. They, in reality, they're being stubborn. How often are we stubborn? I don't know about you, but I think I can do well in the stubborn category. You know, they always say, don't cut off your nose to spite your face. Well, Mr. Aho can do that left to his own devices pretty easily. But how often are we so stubborn that we can't admit we're wrong? How often are we so stubborn that we can't say sorry? How often are we so stubborn that we in reality can't come to the truth because it doesn't fit our criteria? Very, very interesting how this is. He says, I've seen them and they're being very, very stubborn. But now this is the most, if I could say, earth-shaking thing. God's done. He's done playing games. And this text really brings out the graciousness of our God. Because he basically turns around and he says, I'm done. I've done all of this for them. I've continued to provide for them. I've continued to take care of them. You know, a little while without you, and in reality, they've turned totally the other way. Brothers and sisters in Christ, how often are we looking to the things of this world to straighten out everything for us? How often are we creating idols out of our government, out of our music, out of our sports? And I'm not saying that stuff is wrong, please. I'm not that kind of guy. But is that where our sustenance, our provision, our strength comes from? Is that what gives us a hope? No, our hope is found in Jesus Christ and Him alone, no matter what may be going on. Whether it's between you and your children, you and your church, you and your parents, you and your wife or your husband, whatever it may be, where are we looking for the answers? Do we really think there's a lot of pleasure out there? What do you think the most earthly pleasure that you can have is? Don't you think it'd be contentment? Godly contentment. Because everything else fades. I don't care what we say. It fades. Materialism fades. All of these things fade. But to know that your sin debt is paid, that you are free in Christ, and that you are empowered by the Holy Spirit to deal with everything that may be attacking you in your life, that God has you. He has you in the palm of His hand, and He carries you through all of these trials. They acted in fear and created something. God has given everything that we wouldn't have to act in fear. But God says, I'm done. And this is an interesting part for me because I kind of wonder, I believe there's truth to it. I think He's frustrated. We're created in His image. We're created in His likeness. Don't we get frustrated? But then somebody comes along and says, really? You're ready to throw in the towel? Someone comes along and graciously asks for grace for you, for me. Jesus did that. We all deserved, in reality, nothing but wrath. But Christ came, and He says, Father, I have paid for their wounds. I have paid for their transgressions. I have paid for it all. Look at me. I have given myself for each and every one of them. What about in our marriages? What about our relationships? Do we understand that aspect of grace? Maybe I'm a little more sensitive to it because my wife is gone, and I'll tell you the truth. Sometimes you don't appreciate her until she's gone. And I'm not trying to be sarcastic there. We take things for granted. She won't be home until Thursday. It's not fun. God is done. But is He also testing Moses? I don't know. I can't read into that. I love Moses. The one man that stood on the mountain talking to God at the burning bush. Who am I to go down there and talk to Pharaoh? He stands before God the Father and he says, really? You've brought him up out of Egypt? You've done all these things for him and you're going to give up now? In fact, do you know what a mockery that's going to make? The Egyptians are going to laugh. Don't do it. Remember your covenant. Remember what you spoke to Abraham. That Abraham, when you look up and you see the sky and all the stars, that will be your descendants. Remember your commitment. Remember your love. What about us? Do we remember our commitment? Do we remember our love when we stood here as confirmants? Do we remember our commitment? Do we remember our love when we stood here as husband and wife making vows? Do we remember our commitment? Do we remember our love when God brought the truth to our lives and we confess Christ Jesus for the first time of our own strength? Not like our strength, but not our parents' coat strings or coat with our tails. And in other words, when we had that knowledge of Christ Jesus for us, do we remember that commitment? But Moses says, remember what you promised Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. And this is the graciousness of our God. I do remember. I do remember. And he sent Christ. Because we couldn't do it on our own. Because each and every time we would create a God. Each and every time we in reality would scream for Barabbas. Each and every time we would be like Peter and deny. But God, in his love for each and every one of us, says, I remember my love for you and my commitment to you. I don't know what's going on in your life. I just don't. Maybe I want to, maybe I don't. I don't know. But God does. God does know. And this is one thing that I can promise you beyond anything that I could ever promise. God's committed. God loves you. He desires for you to have life and have it abundantly. He sent his son so that you could have this life. And today we're going to come here and we're going to celebrate this victory that Christ Jesus gave himself for us. So I pray that we can come here with open hearts and open spirits to receive what God has given us, that through all the turmoil, through all the struggle, for the last 2 years, whatever it may be, with all the garbage we've seen, that we know God is committed.
Have a glorious and blessed Sunday.